What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, young Jacob with the Wu-Tang rejoin.
They were in town last night.
I know, Wiggy was there. Got to hear all about that on Monday when I'm on the morning show. There's a very concerned listener who just texted in. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to join the show via text or if you want to call in, any thoughts on Red Sox, Patriots, or the Celtics as we are about to discuss them. But this listener says, just wondering if Shyam is not there today because they arrested him in New Bedford for stealing Pokemon cards. Did you see that story from New Bedford that there was a smash and grab at 2:30 in the morning at some card shop where they made off with thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of Pokemon cards?
Well, this is something too that Shyam has talked about on the Greg Hill show, that people like camp out outside of Target and other stores and just buy like full boxes of Pokemon. Like, I didn't know, and I know Pokemon's still like a thing. I didn't realize it was still a thing like
that. It was
that
huge in the late 90s. Like, yeah, when I was a kid, Pokemon was really big, but I don't understand how it still retains value, like how it has value again. This is so stupid. It's like Beanie Babies never came back to value. Why is Pokemon back? And I can't believe that there's like smash and grabs for Pokemon cards. But as far as I know, Shyam was not implicated in that crime, although he does not have the alibi of being at the station.
Because
as I said, it happened at like 2 in the morning, not at 5 in the morning.
He was not the overnight producer last night.
No, he wasn't. So this was a couple nights ago. But it is his birthday. So shout out Shyam. Happy birthday. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're seeing Superman, because that's his nerd lane. But my lane is very much hoops. And Brad Stevens spoke to the media on Tuesday. I was there. You heard Justin Turpin there from WEEI.com asking a great question of Brad about Al Horford, who's still a pending free agent as we sit here today, probably either going to decide to hang it up and retire, but more likely, I would think, sign a short contract with Golden State, with Denver, any number of these teams that are pushing hard to contend for a championship next year. It's a disappointment because you could really use him for that center position on your team, but it just doesn't line up with his age and with what he's looking for contract-wise.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, if he was 36, I think we'd be having, and again, 36 is still 36.
But Al Horford, 36, is like a typical NBA player, 31.
Right. So I think if he was 36, we might be sitting here saying, oh, he'll sign a 3 or 4 year deal with the Celtics. And then, you know, whenever Tatum comes back, whether it's late this season, next season, Horford will be there and you'll be fine. The fact that he's now knocking on the door of 40 and what maybe wants to try to win another championship, to me, it's, you know, Golden State has been the name most closely linked with him, especially once Ayton signed with the Lakers. I think that would be a good fit. But I mean, if I'm Horford, I look around and I say, he could go to Oklahoma City on a light deal because there's supermax penalties. All that clock doesn't start till next year anyway. He could go there on a light deal. He could go to, you mentioned Denver.
They don't really need bigs,
the Clippers,
though.
But I think if I'm, and you're not wrong, but like Chet Holmgren only played 31 games last year. Like, Do you want a little insurance against that, you know, if you're Oklahoma City? The Magic just added Desmond Bane. That's a team that I think could go to the Eastern Conference Finals, especially if Tatum misses the whole year. Like, do you want to go to a scenario like that? And what does Horford and his family want to do? Because he's lived in Boston for most of the last 10 years. He had that brief stop in Philly and OKC, but he's mostly lived here. His kids are getting older. Does he want to go all the way to the West Coast? It'd only be for a year, but does he want to go all the way there? Does he look at a team like the Knicks, now that they have their head coach sorted out, and say, maybe I can go to the NBA Finals there? It's, I think he's got, I know Golden State has been the one team linked close to him. I do think he has some more options than that,
though. I think he has a lot of good options, because it's always tough to find bigs who are going to push you over into a different tier of contention. But
like, even
if
Dallas,
he went to the Knicks, I would have,
I would hate that.
That would bother me more than him going to the Lakers, to be honest, because of the way that the Celtics went out against the Knicks.
And I just look at it from a pure basketball perspective. Like, Karl Anthony Towns is a bad defender, right? So Horford, if you need a good defensive stop in the post in a key playoff game, I would trust Al Horford more than I would Karl Anthony Towns. Right? Just from a pure basketball, I would hate it as a Celtics fan, for sure. I don't know. Like, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Like, I think it's probably, he's leaning towards retirement. If he hasn't signed at this point, I don't know.
Would you hate this as a Celtics fan? According to NBA insider Jake Wanbach, a potential reunion between the Celtics and Marcus Smart would not be off the table. So the Wizards right now have 17 players signed to their roster. You can
Are
only
any
have
of them
15
good?
Active in the NBA. Well, they're trying to make room for their young guys to come up and develop. So they want to offload Marcus Smart. They're going to buy him out if they can't find a trade partner. And if he gets bought out and you can bring him in to the Celtics for cheap, would you be a fan of that?
If he's willing to be a bench player, yes. Because I think, to me, if my guards are Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, and Marcus Smart, White is obviously a starter, and I'd pick Pritchard over Smart to probably be a starter. And we'll see. Because I
agree with that.
I could see Anfernee Simons, like, them moving on from him. But if they have Simons, too. Like, if your guards off the bench are Smart and Simons, I feel pretty good about that overall. Because Marcus Smart, look, I know offensively, not a good player anymore. He was an inconsistent shooter early in his career anyway. His defensive rating is still pretty good. I mean, 107 last year, 109 the year before. Like, he's still been a solid defensive guard. And now without Drew Holiday, who admittedly is better than him, but you kind of have an opening for another defensive guard there. I wouldn't hate it as long as he's willing to take a bench role and it's short money.
So he's owed $21.6 million. That's a non-starter.
Yeah,
if they
I'm
can't,
out on $21
If he's
million.
Not bought out, like, there's just no way that that is going to work, especially if you haven't flipped Anfernee Simons at that point in his $27.7
million. And I'd take
contract.
Simons over Smart at this point in his career. I mean, Simons, I 26 that, years old, much better offensive player. Can they get him to be a good defender? Because remember, when Peyton Pritchard first came up and Sam Hauser first came up, they weren't thought of as good defenders, and they were able to, the Celtics were able to work them into good defenders. Can they make Simons an average defender? Like, I'd rather that than Smart.
I adore Marcus Smart.
Of course.
I love Marcus Smart. I was heartbroken when he was traded for Kristaps Porzingis, and it was a smart trade, and I really like Porzingis too, but Marcus cared so much about this franchise. Like, loved this franchise, had this intense loyalty that you don't always get from athletes with the team, even the team that they're drafted by. He cared so deeply about the organization, his relationship with Brad, all of that. But the guy has played 54 games total over the last three seasons. He's 31 years old. And I think the biggest factor here is you got a crazy log jam of guards if he comes here. Like, especially if you don't, if he gets bought out and you're able to bring him in for cheap and you don't flip Anfernee Simons, it doesn't make sense.
Unless
you
he's going to be the eighth or ninth guy.
Well,
even then,
look, Damian Lillard still hasn't signed anywhere.
And like, I would rather Dame Lillard, the hope of Dame Lillard.
Unfortunately, I would too. Like, neither is an ideal situation that you would actually pay a ton for, but both of these guys would be a cheap guy that you basically take a flyer on. Like, Damian Lillard, you can probably get, I would guess, unless a bidding war goes totally crazy among like three teams who really want to add him coming off that Achilles at 36 years old, you could get him for the $5.6 million mid-level
taxpayer exception. Yeah.
Taxpayer exception, which is the most important thing that I think ownership cares about right now, or the pending new ownership, which is staying under the second apron. Brad didn't walk away from, or he didn't say that they were trying to avoid the repeater tax, which is a little interesting to me. This is a little in the weeds, but I think it's basically he's saying they don't need to get to the lowest possible tax threshold, that they're not worried about the financial punishments of that, is how I took it. What that, from nerd language jargon, what I would say that indicates is the ownership group is not just going to be cut when they come in. This is a brief step back from spending, and then they're going to go back in when they see themselves as being back in serious contention. I don't think they see themselves as in contention without Jason Tatum. It just is probably not going to happen. So they're taking a step back this year, but I don't think that this indicates that the new ownership group, and because they're not caring about the tax repeater, the luxury tax repeater punishments, I think that indicates that they will spend again.
And you and I talked about this the day after the Celtics were eliminated by the Knicks on this show, that I think a lot of this, and really all of this, revolves around whatever Tatum's timeline is. Like, if they think, hey, there's a chance he can come back in March and maybe we can go deep in the playoffs, then sure, they'll be willing to keep Simons, maybe even push the apron this summer. But if they look at it as he's not coming back till 26-27, then they're going to briefly get under and then hopefully go back over. And that was something we also talked about with Kevin O'Connor when he joined us last week. He's like, it seems like they're into it. But again, the two biggest moves they've made so far have been cutting costs in Holiday and Porzingis being traded. I think I agree with you. I think they will be willing to spend when they view themselves as a real contender. I just think that all revolves around when Tatum is back. I mean, Steven said it himself earlier this offseason that the biggest obstacle they have is their first team all NBA guys in a boot, right? Like, right. So, and which is true.
I'm a little worried about Tatum, not like about him coming back as who he was before. He has been in that building every single day.
You think he's pushing it too much?
Yeah. I'm a little mama bear about it. I'm a little worried because he's pretty frustrated seemingly with the injury, and understandably, this is the first serious injury that he's had to deal with as a basketball player.
Of the serious injuries, and it's this is the worst one.
Just about the worst one that you could sustain other than something like heart related. Yeah. And so I'm worried that there's going to be this impatience, that he's going to rush himself, he's going to push himself and not get the full benefit of the rehabilitation process. And it's really on Brad Stevens and the rest of the organization. They're so well run to look out for his best interest. To me, that's probably not rushing him back in March.
And I think his best interest is also the team's best interest, right? Because if he is not the first team all NBA guy that he was, they'll still be a very good team, but they won't. I mean, they've been the best team in the NBA the last 2 years.
Well, like, do you think he'll be able to come back and be first team all NBA again? Because I discussed this with Jones,
but it's
right before July 4th, and he's like, it's never happening again. He'll never be that guy again.
I think he can because, and to me, it's his age, right? Like, because remember, Durant, he came back as an all-star, but he was in his 30s. Well, I think he was 31 when he tore his Achilles. Tatum being in his 20s, I think that helps. And I think
Dominique Wilkins came back and
what was Wilkins, 32 or 3 when
he was second team all NBA the season he returned from.
And
his
I think
Achilles.
Tatum is a better player than Wilkins and he's younger. So I think that helps. And I think also too, a lot of Tatum's game is that step back three and whatnot. Is he still going to be the same shooter? If he's the same shooter, then I think that's a path for him to be a first team all NBA guy again as well.
So what's interesting to me about what you just said is Kevin Durant on a podcast was saying Tatum's going to basically have to leave that part of his game for a little bit because he's not going to have the strength of the step back three or the sidestep three.
That, it's a huge part of his game.
So he's going to, but he also can be a great mid-level shooter. He's somebody who definitely has points where he drives and just takes it. And he might have to lean into that game a little bit more before he goes back to that just because he doesn't have the strength in the calf to be able to get those shots up. Where my mind went when Durant said that, like, hey, Tatum's going to have to get away from the step back three a little bit because he's not going to have the strength in his legs to make those shots as many times and as accurately. I was like, what does that say for Damian Lillard then? Because that's Damian Lillard's whole game is the heave. Like, Damian Lillard is much closer to Peyton Pritchard in that way than Jason Tatum, who has a legit bag and can score at three different levels on the court.
And I think we saw, too, by the way, when the Celtics beat the Mavs in that finals, a huge part of it was Tatum driving the lane. He was devastating against, and he's so good at that.
Oh, my God, the final, the game where he tore his Achilles against the Knicks, he started looking like the kid who is just the all-star on the team, who's like, these scrubs aren't getting it done, and I'm not calling the Celtics scrubs. I'm just saying that mentality of like, these guys can't do it, so I'm going to have to do it myself. And he started playing that way. He might have to lean into that game a little more when he comes back.
And I think to your point on Lillard, that's why even though Lillard got hurt a month before Tatum, I have no expectation Lillard will be back at all this season because he's older, smaller guard, and so much of his game is just spot up or step back shooting threes. Whereas Tatum, again, younger, different body type, different parts of his game. So I think there is an actual chance, 10%, 15%, Tatum's back in March. And that would be 10 months. I don't think that would be a quote-unquote rush. I think, though, if Tatum tries to be Kobe and come back in 9 months.
That's scary to me.
If we're talking about Tatum coming back in January, February, to me, that's a real concern. If it's March, I think that's a different conversation.
February is a short month. I'm not sure it's that different.
It's still a month later.
And then I'm scared that he's coming back because he wants to be in the playoffs, and the playoffs are a totally different level of physicality. It makes me nervous.
No, and it's a fair concern, and that's where March to me is a little different because he could ramp up as the regular season winds down. I think whoever the Celtics would play in the first round would likely be a team, even with Tatum working his way back, that they're better than and should beat. So then he's not really playing high leverage, if you will, high pressure minutes until May.
You're much higher on the Celtics than a lot of people I talk to.
I think they're the fifth team in the East right now.
I think
a lot of that's Halliburton's injury and Miles Turner.
Over the Bucks with Miles Turner?
I would go I think Orlando's better than them right now, Cleveland, the Knicks, and probably the Bucks with Giannis and Miles Turner. And then I'd put the Celtics fifth because, again, Halliburton's out for Indiana.
What about the Hawks? They've gotten a lot
better. I love Porzingis. You know this. I'm not a huge believer in Trae Young as a dude that's going to go deep in the playoffs and be great. And I think Detroit.
But if we're talking about seeding.
There's a lot to, but Detroit, there's a lot to like, but I still got to see them figure it out and do it for a full year and be a really good team start to finish.
I think the Celtics are between a 5 and 7 seed.
Yeah.
If things go well. There's, as Kevin O'Connor talked to us about a couple weeks ago, there is still the possibility of we have a shot at the lottery, that things are really not breaking our way. Jaylen Brown's injury looks more like a 2-month injury, if you know
instead
what I mean.
Instead of the 2-week twisted ankle.
That's what Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo Sports told us the other day. Hey, if you missed that, you can revisit it and stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps if you want to find anything from our Red Sox conversation earlier. A huge night for the Red Sox. We are going to return to them because they deserve a lot of conversation over what they've been doing these last 8 games and particularly the last 2. But first, we're going to hit what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Jacob. That was the call early in the game from last night against Tampa Bay with Hunter Dobbins leaving the mound, obviously injured. And now we have an update from Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. He tweeted just about 15 minutes ago, bad news. The initial belief is Hunter Dobbins suffered a significant knee injury last night, potentially with ACL damage, sources say. Red Sox are still assessing the severity, but the initial read is that this is no minor injury. So that's a huge bummer, obviously, for Dobbins coming off the IL and somebody that you had hoped would probably be rounding out your rotation. To me, though, it's just further evidence and further reason of why the Red Sox need to go out and get another arm for the rotation, in addition to maybe some other pieces. And if that means parting with one of your outfielders, it's something that you may have to consider, unfortunately, if prospects don't get it done.
And you look at where their pitching staff is at. Obviously, Crochet is an ace. He's a Cy Young candidate, all-star, all that. Bayo has been much, much better over the past 6 weeks. Giolito has been good recently. But there's still some questions about Giolito where he missed all of last year with surgery. Before that, let's not forget, he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball when he got traded to the Angels in 2023. So a word of caution, is Giolito going to keep this up all year, right? In Bayo, is he going to do it for a full year? You have Tanner Houck, who's been injured. Now Hunter Dobbins. Buehler's been all over the place. ERA over 11 in June, better in July, but still all over. So it feels like even if those guys are healthy, you would need another arm. And now with Dobbins out, I think it just adds to the urgency. And I tie this in, Mego, to something we talked about earlier. After the All-Star break, they have the toughest strength of schedule in the league. I mean, they at Wrigley Field right after the All-Star break. Then they play at Philly against a first-place Phillies team. Then they have the Dodgers for three at home. In the first 2 weeks of August, they play the Astros six times. Like, these are all teams that are in the upper echelon of the MLB. You're going to need all the arms you can get at that point. So I think we talk so much about the trade deadline, and Lou Maloney's made the point where, well, sometimes you have to wait till the deadline for another team to be willing to unload someone, and that's true. But I think this is a year in particular that you want to be aggressive before the trade deadline, ideally in the next week or so before you hit that post-All-Star break schedule.
What does that aggressiveness mean? What's it going to cost you? Is it going to have to cost you Duran? Is it going to cost you another outfielder? Is it simply going to cost you prospects? You can call in 617-779-7937, or you can reach us on the text line. Thank you for the kind text, 703 or 207. I don't know where I got 703 from. I don't even know what area code that is. Let's go to Norm in Springfield. Norm, you want to talk about Willie Abreu?
Yeah, you're just mentioning about how we got to add an arm. I 100% agree we got to add a pitcher. I think Duran has to stay for me. I think everybody agrees Roman Anthony is staying for the next 10, 15 years. We all want that, right? I think Sadon, I've been a Sadon guy, especially what he's been doing this year and last night. I don't think anybody wants him to leave. I think it comes down to Duran and Abreu because you can't really platoon those guys full-time. I don't think either one of them will be okay with being a full-time platoon guy. And I think at the end of the day, Roman Anthony plays right field most of the time. He's a left-handed hitter. He's hitting against lefties. Willie Abreu is not. I think you can get a lot for Willie Abreu, and I think you could get a legit starting arm for Willie Abreu this year.
Thank you, Norm. I really haven't seen very much about Abreu getting interest or even like being shopped in any way. A lot of the smoke has been around Duran, and we'll talk about that more so a little bit in the next hour. We addressed it a little bit earlier. Sean McAdam of Mass Live having some really excellent reporting. Have you heard anything, seen anything about Abreu being
dangled
out there?
No, but I think the caller's point is an interesting one, because I think, you know, you're only trading Roman Anthony if you're getting Paul Skeens back, right?
You're
like,
not,
you know what I mean?
Trading Roman
right?
Anthony.
No, so like, you know what I mean? Right.
Take it off the table. You get your own Roman Anthonys.
So I think you're
and his beautiful family.
So you're not trading Roman Anthony. You're also, to me, not trading Sedan Rafaela, who's been the best defensive center fielder in the majors.
Don't you do it after last night.
All-star level hitter. Not just last night, though, right? Mm-hmm. Hit 283 in June, over 400 in July. So it's not just been a couple good weeks. Like, he's been much better, been more patient at the plate, too, which has been nice to see. So I think it could theoretically come down to Duran and Abreu. And I got to say, Mego, in that situation, I think I'd pick up Abreu. This guy, I know he's only in his second year, but he won a Gold Glove as a rookie last year. He has actual power, which, by the way, since you've traded Devers, you've been lacking some power. Abreu's a guy that has 18 home runs right now, so real power in that lineup. So, I don't want to trade any of the outfielders. I would keep all four unless I'm getting Dylan Cease or Michael King or Spencer Strider back, right? Like, that's the only way I'm trading Duran or any of the outfielders. And I think if you had to make that trade, if the Padres said, we'll give you Dylan Cease for one of your outfielders, I'd probably lean towards Duran over Abreu.
Yeah, Abreu has an 831 OPS, which is close to his career best. In 2023, he had 862. As you said, he has 18 home runs. He has great composure, is the other thing. Like, I think that in some of these stretches where the bats aren't super hot, like, he's still quite dependable. And that's not someone that you've had on the team really very much outside of, at times, Devers, where Devers would get you through these long stretches. I'm not saying Duran can't be that guy, because Duran has been fantastic the last two seasons. But Duran's been a lower tier on a lower tier this season.
And I guess what the team has to figure out is you have Abreu, who is in his second full season, third year overall, already has a career high in home runs. He's close to a career high in RBIs. Rafaela, we just talked about how great he is. Is one of those guys just having a career year, or are both of those guys in their second full year on the actual upswing and are going to be good players? Because I think one thing, and this is something Dave Dombrowski was great at when he was here, a huge part of being a good GM is knowing which guys you can move on from and it won't kill you. So is Duran just having kind of a down year, and is the guy last year and the year before more who he's going to be over the balance of the rest of his career? Or with those career years, or, like, to me, that's what Craig Breslow has to figure out here. Because I think, you know, Anthony's the untouchable guy. Of the other three, two of them are probably long-term good players, and one of them is probably either having or just had a career year. And that's, to me, the biggest question Breslow has to answer as he approaches this deadline, if he's going to move one of them.
And Willier is the younger guy. He's 26. Duran's looking at 30.
And both good fielders, but I think Willier might be a little better. I mean, again, Gold Glove last year.
Yeah, Duran's developed really, really well. He's progressed really well in that department, but I think Willier is better, it's safe to say. A couple texts coming in here from 860. That's it. Replace Dobbins with a 20 mil plus a year stud. Time to spend the Raffy cash. Rental preferred. Okay, so that would be Cease for sure. I don't know if the front office would prefer a rental. I'm not sure that that works. 207 says, do you guys think Raffy Devers really was the heavy, dark cloud parked over Fenway, and eliminating him has allowed the young talent to bloom, so to speak? Do you buy that? So, do you buy that it was addition by subtraction? It feels like a vibes conversation again.
So I compare the Devers trade, and I know it's crossing sports, but I think it's almost a mirror image of the Luka trade, because it's they were right about the guy, but they made a bad trade. Like, you know, like, the Red Sox are right that this guy was not going to be a team player. He was never going to be a good fielder. He wasn't really a leader, but they still made a bad trade. Like, you got four guys back and one of them might help you this year. That's not okay, right? The Mavs, I think, were right about Luka evaluation long term. They still didn't get enough back for it. Like,
I get
you know
what you're
mean?
Saying, but like, I think Luka has a much higher stature within the league than
fair.
Devers
But Devers is still a top 10 hitter, right, in the major leagues. Like, really, I mean, seriously.
Sometimes top 15.
Okay, top 10, top 15 hitter, whereas, yeah, maybe Luka was a first-team All-NBA guy. You know,
Luka is a top 5 player.
Sure.
Did you guys see the Red Sox lineup?
What?
Sedan is playing second base.
Yeah. See, I don't I like keeping him in the lineup. Like, I think he's played good enough that you can't keep Sadon out of the lineup. I don't love moving a lot of these young guys around. There's something they did, remember, with Rafaela last year, where he played shortstop part of the way through the year. And I thought he did an admirable job for a guy that hadn't done that at the major league level. But I think this is something that the Red Sox have done much more recently than they used to do, where they bring these guys up and they're putting them all over the place. Like, we've seen Anthony play right field and left field. We've seen Duran play multiple infield positions, outfield positions, his first few years. We've seen Rafael. This will be, what, his third different position in the last 12 months that he's played. So I just don't love that. And you're going to put Meyer at second base and then some days at third with Bregman.
Yeah, Meyer's at third today.
Right. So
the lineup
is
Duran, Rafaela, Roman Anthony, Narvaez, Yoshida DH, Story, Abreu, Toro at first base, Meyer at third base.
Like, I'd much rather put Anthony at DH, and I know Yoshida's a nice piece to have back, but like, if you want to make sure all four of those outfielders are in the lineup, I don't like messing with Rafaela, who's the best defensive center fielder in the league, and Meyer, who's just getting his feet wet at second base as well.
I hear you, but if they feel like, okay, they've at least split this series, and they're experimenting a little bit with how they can keep all these guys on the field and on the roster without going to a total platoon system, and both undercutting what some of the guys can provide for you night in and night out, and also potentially pissing off some of the guys because their numbers, their stats are going to be way down. All that counts towards how they're seen across the league and future contracts, et cetera, et cetera. I don't hate it. Like, it's kind of strange because you're at a very like an inflection point of who your team is going to be, and they have 8 straight wins, but I don't hate the experimentation.
So I get what you're saying. I look forward to this, and I think long term your infield is going to be Bregman at third, Meyer at short, and Christian Campbell at second. Like, Rafaela to me is never going to be a consistent second baseman for you, so to fill in here and there, okay, fine. I don't love taking a guy who is that good at center field and moving him somewhere that long term he's never going to play. Like, if this was a playoff series,
well, do
you
think there's
pinch,
anyone else from the outfield who could make that move up?
No, and that's fair, right? Like, so Duran's not doing it. Anthony's
like,
not
here's the thing: we can't. Everybody's just happy to sit and have the platoon system. It sounds like of, hey, just rotate those guys in the outfield. I don't know if that
to me
works.
The rotation would be Anthony and Yoshida at DH. Like, okay. And I know you'd have to dig deeper into the metrics, who's better against righties, lefties, whatever. But to me, that would be, because I want Abreu and Rafaela in the outfield every single day. And then if there's some days that Duran's the DH, if there's other days Anthony's the DH, other days Yoshida. Like, to me, I would prefer that to be there, because I just think Rafaela and Abreu are so good defensively. I don't want to move them around.
All right, let's take a quick call here. Paulie in Dedham wants to talk about the Red Sox. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, how you guys doing? Megan the Mason, long time no speak. Almost made it last year to the Super Bowl, huh?
Almost.
You must have been all excited. Yeah, yeah. They got a hell of a quarterback. I was hoping he was going to be our guy. I was hoping you guys were going to slip and we were going to get him. I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft last year. But anyway, I think what we need is an Iron Man setup guy. That's what we need. We got the closer. With the bullpen struggles, we need to stiffen that bullpen. We've been in a lot of games where the lead is slipping away. We've got to get a lead, or we're, you know, just behind, or game's even, and the bullpen just wasn't doing the job.
All right. Thank you, Paulie. That's interesting. I was listening to the Fenway Rundown podcast with Sean McAdam and Chris Cotillo, because McAdam has so much great info, and Cotillo, awesome reporter. I hesitate to say, because
well,
he's a friend of mine and he'll be very annoying about it, but he does a great job, so shout out to both of you. All that to say, I think it was McAdam who was saying Tanner Houck could be that guy, could be your eighth inning setup guy, and maybe that's the most natural position for him at this point in his career because of his inconsistencies as a starter. Even with this Hunter Dobbins injury, I feel like it's a force to put him back into the rotation. Where do you think that he fits best?
Could that be Walker Buehler, a guy that came in relief to end the World Series last year, that's done that before? And I think the bullpen concern is a good one, because Greg Weiser, most appearances in the AL as of like a week ago. Chapman has been great. But your bullpen, and this is something Craig Breslow tried to shore up last year with Lucas Sims at the deadline. It just blew up in his face and it didn't work. it does feel like your bullpen could maybe use one more arm. And Chris Murphy was really good last night. I think he's got potential to be a good piece. But if they're, but I'm not trading Jarren Duran just for an eighth inning guy. Like, I'll trade Jarren Duran for a starter, and then it allows you to move Buehler or Hauk or whoever then to the bullpen to help shore up your bullpen. Fine. I'm not trading one of these, and I'm not even trading one of my top tier prospects for an eighth inning only or setup only guy. I'm not disputing what the caller
said.
No.
You save that for a starter.
Yeah.
Even if it's a rental.
Yeah.
Even if it's a rental.
But I would like, I think an ideal trade deadline for me, Mego, is they get a legit frontline starter behind Crochet, another bullpen arm you can rely on. And then I would, that to me is the two biggest things. And then can you get a higher tier first base player?
All right. We're going to continue our Red Sox talk. Huge Red Sox day. 8-game winning streak coming off of a walk-off home run win led by Sadan Rafaela last night. He's been the hero for a couple nights now. So it's a super fun time to talk about the Sox, and with the trade deadline looming, what are they going to do? We're also going to have a conversation coming up after the break that is going to make John Lyons extremely happy. Right.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
After this. Are you like a big Rush guy, John Lyons?
Not at all.
I am.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar with the catalog, I gotta say. Little breaking news here from Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, who had the report earlier this hour about Hunter Dobbins that they were fearing it was a pretty serious injury. He says now Hunter Dobbins tore his ACL. Richard Fitz has been called up. So certainly puts a little bit of a damper on what was a great night at Fenway Park last night for Hunter Dobbins, unfortunately. hoping that's a very fast recovery, but also just kind of further forces the issue of what the Red Sox have to do at the trade deadline, which is bolster their rotation. But we're going to continue our Red Sox talk. John Lyons, I watch a lot of trash TV. I watch some of the trashiest TV you can imagine.
Like, what are we talking?
Like
Real
Bravo,
Housewives,
reality yeah. TV.
See, I don't watch
just,
any of that.
Just basically soap operas, so stupid. My husband just like rolls his eyes and walks out of the room and whatever. Sometimes I need to just completely turn my brain off. And especially this time of year when there's no Celtics and there's no football and you get one baseball game for Red Sox a night. Sometimes they're an off night. I watch a lot of trash TV. But I do think it's hard sometimes to find a show that both you and your significant other can agree to get into, because you're like, it's an undertaking, especially in the streaming era. You're like, there's all these different shows.
Oh, we make lists and we're like, all right, do you want this one, this
one,
this one?
No, I just like sit through and scroll and I'm like, what about that? What about, it's like, I don't really want to go through all seasons of Better Call Saul. Like, I hear
it's a terrific show.
I know,
but I just.
Better
than Breaking Bad.
I'm like, oh.
My random take, Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad.
So the other night I said, how about we try Band of Brothers? Because I always see it on playing on marathons on, yeah. You know, like Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And it's supposed to be so spectacular. And so my husband said, all right, we'll try that. It is so freaking good. And I know I'm 2.5 decades late to the party, but, and I know that there's a couple other series after it. There's Pacific. There's
also great.
Masters of Air.
Masters of the Air on Apple Plus. Also great.
Okay. This series, I feel like it might be a top 10 TV show.
I
don't know if
you
count it as like miniseries, yeah. But for me, top 10 TV show.
I saw.
I'm only 4 episodes in, so no spoilers if you can help yourself.
I saw a rating a while. This was like a while. It was, I don't know if it was Rotten Tomatoes or something that had it ranked 4th. It was like The Wire, The Sopranos, something else. Like might have been Seinfeld even or something. And then, yeah, no, I think it's the best show I've ever seen. It's my favorite. And I'm a history nerd too, so I especially like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I love The Pacific. I love Masters of the Air as well. But Band of Brothers is in its own pantheon. Like, I think it's the best show ever put together. And at the time, too, they spent like $123 million on it as a miniseries, which
and
was
it's
like
Spielberg. Is,
and Hanks with
yeah.
the executive producers. Yeah, it's to me. And it's funny, too, that like the only quote-unquote big names in it at the time are David Schwimmer, who's only in a couple episodes, and then Ron Livingston, who at the time had just.
Schwimmer's character reminds me of so many lacrosse coaches I had.
Yeah.
Like, he is such a dink. And I'm so pointlessly annoying to everyone. I'm like, this is very reminiscent of many women who guided me through my lacrosse career.
And it's amazing to look back on it now, too. Like I said, like Livingston had done Office Space, best comedy of all time, by the way. Love Office Space. But he was like a reasonably known name. Schwimmer was a big name because of Friends. Like the rest of those guys became great actors later on. Like the guy, I think it's Scott Grimes, who plays Malarkey. Like, he was in ER for, like, 5 years after that. Like, they became good actors or well-known actors. But at the time, it was a lot of, like, British actors.
Isn't Tom Hardy in it?
He's in episode 9. And
okay.
You, honestly,
don't tell me.
I saw him in it, and I would not have known it was him. Like,
so
he does. He's, like, 19 years old.
There's two things that I struggle with personally. It's not the show. It's me personally. I don't know if you do this. I was talking to Wiggy about this during a break yesterday, actually. It's one of those shows where there are so many faces that I go, oh, I think that's somebody. And then I spend the next 3 minutes on IMDb being like, it is this person. I knew it. This person was in this other random thing. And there's like 10 people in the show who are like that. So I'm constantly just going through and then there's a whole like Wikipedia page that's just like Band of Brothers Wiki. Yeah. And then I fall into spoilers. And so then I have to shut the whole thing down.
And then the guy who plays Garnier is like in the last season of The Sopranos too. So it's like so many of those guys went on. But yeah, I think it's like if you combine the story, the fact that it's a true story, obviously, is and it's an amazing true story. But the way they did it.
It's based on a book, right?
It's yeah. Stephen Ambrose wrote the book. I've read the book a couple times.
I was
going
to say,
really
I was wonder how it compares to the book.
I think it's not. There's two mistakes in the series I found. One is at the end of episode 3, they have a date wrong, same in episode 9.
Oh my God, you're like really intricately
yeah.
fact-checking this show.
But other than that, they get stuff like, it's extremely similar to the book. And I think they did a terrific job. Like I said, I think the fact that it's a true story, but then the actors in it, the writing, the direction, all of that makes it to me the best show ever. And it's one of those shows, too, where, like, my friends and I, we've all seen it, and, like, my dad's seen it. Almost all of us have, like, a different favorite episode, which I think is the mark of a great show. It's kind of like if you've seen Seinfeld, I assume. Like,
yeah.
It feels like everybody has one Seinfeld episode where they're like, oh, you remember when they did the blank? And everyone has, like, I think Band of Brothers is like that. Everyone will have, like, my favorite episode is 3 and episode 9. But then one of my buddies was like, oh, episode 5. And another one was like, oh, episode 7. And I think that, to me, is the mark of a truly great show, too.
What I like about that is because it's a mini series, I feel that it's easier to put that into context. Like, you mentioned The Wire is one of my favorite shows.
Amazing show.
And when you think about The Wire, because so much happens in every episode and there's so many different characters and storylines that don't necessarily directly connect to each other, I think you think about it more so, like, not my favorite episode, but my favorite scene. Like, oh, I love the scene when they're trying to move the piece of furniture into the basement office. And
Omar's, like, whistling down the street, too. That's a great scene.
Like, there's so Omar going to get Honey Nut Cheerios, like, in his robe in the morning. Like, there's so many different scenes where you're like, oh, that one. Less so than episodes. But because it's a miniseries, I feel like, episode-wise. Since you're so on the historical accuracy of it, the one guy who has, like, bleach blonde hair, is that historically accurate?
I believe so. Are you, which episode? Are you talking about Blythe in episode 3? Because I think that is
It's accurate. Not Blythe. It's the guy who has bright blue eyes. He's an officer, and he has bright blonde hair. And I'm thinking, like, because it came out in 2001, and I thought, that really feels very 2001
so
to
I
me.
Watched
it's a, taking me out of the show slightly.
I watched a bonus.
It feels very Eminem.
I watched the bonus features of it, and they said that they made an effort for all appearances to be exactly the same.
Okay.
So
the Blythe storyline really bummed me out.
Yeah. That's one of the mistakes, is the date at the end of that episode.
Okay.
So, but
I felt like perhaps the story didn't need to be told, because it was just too sad.
It was. And it's funny, too, because they filmed that in England, but I've been to Normandy, and they made it look exactly the same. Like, they did a really great job with it. And I had this conversation with my wife, too. I think early 2000s HBO had the best run of TV shows ever, right? Because you had Band of Brothers, The Sopranos, The Wire, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sex in the City, which I'd never watched, but it was a huge hit.
It was a great show.
And then I'm missing another one, I think, too. Like, that run of shows for one station, I think, is probably the best run. And if you even want to extend it out to 2010, when Boardwalk Empire came out, which
I didn't watch that.
I
think HBO, and I mean, recently I loved Succession. They still, to me, have, like, the best taste in shows.
Sure.
Netflix can be all over the freaking place. Hulu has a couple that are interesting, but some are really weird. Amazon Prime, I feel like it's very hard to find stuff on there.
Prime will have an occasional fantastic show, and then it'll have other shows that I'm like, I don't care about this.
Exactly. HBO Max is the best one.
Yeah, I think HBO tends to have, like, the only thing that I don't like is they passed on Mad Men, and that's my favorite show of all time.
Yeah.
And
it was David Chase, too, that did
Mad
Men, right?
From with the Sopranos.
Yeah, but that,
no, it wasn't David Chase. It was Matthew Weiner.
Because there was a guy connected to The Sopranos.
He was a writer in the writer's room on The Sopranos.
Okay, that's...
Anyway, I'm only 4 episodes in, so I'm not ready to put it on an all-time list, but we're very much enjoying it. And Donnie Wahlberg, as the text line is lighting up...
He was another one. He was a well-known.
Donnie Wahlberg just showed up, and so I said, ooh, he just brought some really bad news to the guys, and... Donnie Wahlberg, and that was probably right before he did Sixth Sense, right?
This came out in September of 2001, so I don't know when.
Or was Sixth Sense before? I'm only curious about that because Donnie Wahlberg is lost so much weight for, like, a tiny role in Sixth Sense, which was a very important role, but, like, very short scene. And I just was like, wow, the range. We need more Donnie Wahlberg. Big Jaylen Brown supporter.
As well, yes.
All about Donnie Wahlberg, less so about his brother, who's apparently becoming a Raiders fan. So, you know, whatever.
Because he's a Brady guy.
So he's not like Affleck.
But you're
going
to love this. As the series goes on, I think you're only going to like it better and better.
Okay.
Like, I love the early episodes, but then the later ones are fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it. I see some Band of Brothers calls. No spoilers. We will take those. We will continue our Red Sox talk right after this very quick break.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.